This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com. When you teach the children to jump the very best you can.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. Brian, what else are we hearing on the ESPN saga?
No major names recently. Jean-Jacques Taylor, who was ESPN Dallas columnist. I'm not sure how in-depth our listeners reading into ESPN.com ever was. A couple of recruiting analysts, one including Jeremy Crabtree, Brett McMurphy, who was a college football reporter, Jim Bowden, MLB analyst, among the cuts as well.
Huh. And we really haven't heard many about actually ESPN sports anchors, their roles being reduced. Hannah Storm, who does a spectacular job, and then who was the other
Carl Ravage and Ryan Russillo.
Boy,
and
Carl
possibly
Ravage.
John Buccigross. That has not been confirmed.
Not being let go, Carl Ravage, just
no.
Role being reduced.
Yes, and I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean he's just calling game broadcasts or baseball, or is he just doing studio work? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, I'm looking at a Yahoo report today talking about it's going to get to 100, which is so we've only probably mentioned like 25. You know, an example of success in the current strategy, though, the statement touts the Midnight Sports Center hosted by Scott Van Pelt. And I do like that one. Now, I'm not sure about this one. Have you guys seen this? The new 6 p.m. Sports Center, The Six, hosted by Jemele Hill and Michael Smith.
I have not seen that, but I know that's where the medium is going.
I haven't seen it either because I don't watch ESPN. So
at all?
I don't, not unless there's a game on. No, if I'm watching sports, just entertainment, sports talk, and you know, later in the day, it'll be on MLB Network because baseball's kind of my main sport, and so I don't really turn on ESPN anymore. I like Van Pelt late at night, but that's pretty much it.
The only one that, in terms of what I like there, is pardon the interruption. I still think, you know, Tony Kornheiser and Wilbon together are good. That's the only one of those talking heads opinion argument shows that I kind of like. Let's see. What else?
Can you ask Gabe about the new student section for football? I guess they're moving to student section.
They're considering it. They're considering actually.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
Flipping the benches to where the home bench would be on the other side of the stadium in front of the alumni or the, you know, the general fan section, and the student section where it currently is would then be behind the visiting bench. But SEC rules state that you can't be within a certain amount of feet to have the student section there, I guess, lording over the visiting bench and making a bunch of noise. And so basically they'd move the visiting fan section right to the front of that area and put the students on the side.
Which I don't know if the students would like that.
The
right?
Students don't like that. And it seems that
good. Some
of the players have tweeted out things about liking the tradition of having the students right behind them. But I've seen things from Gabe that indicates this wouldn't be too far-fetched or different from what a lot of teams in the SEC does. So it'll be interesting to hear him be able to talk about that with us later on.
Back to our conversation with Derek for just a moment. I wonder about that whole Jose Oquindo situation. I know Derek's very close to it, but I don't know. Every once in a while I hear that Oquindo wanted to play a larger role and the present coaching staff kind of wanted to handle it themselves. So I'm not 100% certain on that. All I know is that if you have a young shortstop that's going to be around here for a long time, whether it's at the shortstop position or somewhere else, and Jose Oquindo wants to work with him more, then I think the best thing you should do is let Jose Oquindo work with him more. And I, you know, I can understand a little bit, like coaches want to coach the play, they don't want to get too many voices in there. But if it's Jose Oquindo, I think you just kind of say, all right, you got this young shortstop. You were in that same position at one time. You work with him. So, all right, let's switch topics. Let's talk some Mizzou sports. Joining us now, He's one of the best in the business, Gabe DeArmond. Gabe, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
Not bad, Frank. How about you?
Very good. So what's your takeaway from the Jonte Porter visit to Columbia and how he stands about playing next year?
We did an interview with him, and I saw three others, and the answers all kind of were different. But the upshot is a decision hasn't been made. We all are pretty confident where he's going to play. It's just a matter of whether he will do so this season or next season. And, you know, more and more, I don't think that's a decision that's going to be made until probably after the AAU season's over, mid to late summer. There's no real rush for him. If he can get the schoolwork done, you know, he just needs to decide by August. And it may have something to do with how Missouri's class finishes out.
I thought he was very mature and very analytical in describing his situation when he said, I don't want to rush life. I mean, that's pretty articulate for a 16 or 17-year-old kid.
Well, and you know, his dad and his brother obviously have a lot of experience, and his sisters, with this game. And, you know, that's really the major factor that I think people, fans and media generally ignore is you never get your senior year of high school back. And look, senior year of high school for like you and me was pretty fun. I mean, it's even more fun when you're like the BMOC and really good at something and might be a McDonald's All-American and all this other stuff. I mean, you know, senior prom, things like that, your senior season of high school basketball, there's never another chance to go back and do that. So I think that's absolutely something that these kids should consider. You have your whole life to go, you know, be a grown-up and go into your career. But sometimes it's fun to just have fun.
We're talking with Gabe DeArmond, publisher, Power Mizzou. What do you think this does to the recruitment of Jeremiah Tillman? I know Missouri wants them both, but let me throw this angle at you. If I'm Jeremiah Tillman and I know that Jonte is definitely coming, we play the same position, his dad's on the staff, I don't know if it's unlimited minutes of playing time every game. What's your take there?
Well, they do play the same position, but they have different games. I think Tillman is more of a low post, back to the basket type guy. Jonte is a little bit more skilled, can step out and do a few more things as far as shooting the basketball, I think. So I think the sales pitch for Missouri clearly is that they have different skill sets and will fill different roles, and there will be minutes for both of them, you know, especially because Mitchell Smith is hurt and we don't know how good he is. We didn't see a whole lot from Reed Nicko last year, so I'm sure the coaching staff is saying, look, there's plenty of minutes to go around. Nobody's going to play 40, but there's plenty to go around.
What do you think the holdup is, though? It seems like a perfect fit for Jeremiah to join Michael Porter Jr. and Konzo Martin. Why has there been such a delay?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I know that there was some hiccups in the process with him even signing with Illinois in the fall. It seems to be a recruitment that has not always been smooth, regardless of what the decisions were. You know, I've had some people say he wants to finish up school and get through finals before he really deals with this. Maybe he wants to take a chance to get a weekend to see a couple of these campuses in person. I mean, it really could be anything. And with Jeremiah not, at least to my knowledge, having done any interviews and addressed that, it's hard to say exactly what the factors are and how much each of them are playing a part.
All right, let's just say they don't get anybody else. DeJounte stays in school and they don't get Tillman. This is a three-part question. Where does that class rank? If they get them both, where does that class rank? And then if they only got one of them, Jonte and Jeremiah, where would that class rank, roughly?
Yeah, if they don't get anybody else, we had them 16 before they got Blake Harris, so I'm going to guess that in the neighborhood of like 12 or 13, you know, somewhere between 10 and 15 probably.
Okay.
It's kind of hard to assess where they'll rank if they get one or both of those guys, because right now Jonte Porter is a 2018 kid. I think he would rank similarly in the 2017 class, but also what if our rankings are all done before he makes a decision? That happened with Tekki Gill-Caesar a few years ago. He was like the number 35 player in his class, and then all the rankings and everything was finalized, and he reclassified. So officially, he was like an unranked guy. in his class. You know, they would jump into the top 10 if they get one of them, I think. If they get both of them, they'd probably be, I mean, Jonte's a five-star now, probably be on the edge of the top five if not in it.
Wow, that's incredible. Another topic, what do we know about the students being moved in terms of seating at football games?
Yeah, I know Dave Matter wrote about it yesterday. I had some information that I put on our message board. It seems to be mostly because Barry Odom wants the bench on the other side, the Missouri bench on the other side of the stadium. And I don't really remember this, but apparently up until sometime early in Pinkel's tenure, that's where the bench was, over on the alumni side on the west side of the stadium. And so if Missouri's bench is going to be over there, they've got to move the student section because the SEC does not allow student seating in the first 25 rows behind, directly behind the visitor's bench. So they've got to move somewhere else if they're going to do that. And so the proposed plan has kind of the student section split in two, really. It looks like more along the, each 30-yard line rather than at midfield. I always preface this with parking and seating. People ask me about it a lot, and I say, I don't know. I have my parking pass in my garage, and I sit in the press box, so it's simply not something that I pay a lot of attention to. I don't think it's anything to be outraged about, but my Twitter feed certainly seems to say differently.
And that, by the way, is at Gabe DeArmond. At Gabe DeArmond is his Twitter feed. Up to 27,000 followers, I see. Very impressive, young man.
It does not make me a dime either. I got to figure out how to change that.
Two-parter on this Alabama quarterback James Foster committing. How special is he? And do you think this could play a role with those CBC wide receivers, Cam Babb and Cam Brown, going to Mizzou?
Yeah, it's he's a kid who has offers from Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee. Nick Saban's looking at him, you know, so that's a pretty big deal. I mean, if you want to win in this league, we've talked about what you have to do is beat some of these teams on kids that they want. I mean, you're not going to win in the SEC recruiting in the low 40s by out-recruiting, you know, mid-major schools. It just won't happen. So it's a big deal from that perspective. Babb specifically is a guy that James Foster's mentioned in interviews that he's talking to, and I've asked around a little bit and asked if this could have an impact on Babb, and the general consensus seems to be it absolutely could. I would think the same with Cameron Brown. I mean, receivers want to know who's going to be throwing them the football, and he is obviously set up to be the quarterback of the future, if not the immediate successor to Drew Lock, certainly pretty soon after. At least that's kind of – and look, anything can happen. They've got guys on campus now. They could recruit a guy in 2019. We have no clue how that's going to go, but at least looking at it from the outside right now, he looks like your guy after Locke.
You know, I got a feeling, too, after having the six in there, and there's basically a super seven here in the St. Louis area, that if Mizzou, you know, somehow has a winning season, wins seven games, maybe gets eight, and then those kids come down for a basketball weekend with Michael Porter, and maybe you got one of them. A Trout could be the leader, maybe Babb, and they get together. They're always on these chats together. You could get about three or four, maybe five of them together. I mean, that would not shock me at all. They just can't avoid. They just have to avoid a disastrous season.
Yeah, I mean, I watched your interviews with them, and it backed up kind of a lot of what we've thought and have been saying, which is, obviously, they've got to go win games. If Missouri goes 4-8 again, they're going to lose every single one of those kids. And Barry Odom long-term can't survive that. He just can't. He goes 4-8, and all 10 of these guys leave the state. This isn't going to work long-term. So, but I don't think they have to go win 10 games to get him either. I mean, if you listen to Trevor Trout talk, he's looking for reasons to go to Missouri. Michael Thompson did an interview with one of our guys over the weekend, said, I don't know who my finalists are, but I know Missouri's going to be one. Ronnie Perkins' brother plays here, and so if you take those three and you can get them on board, you know, that really could start something that really, I don't think it would be out of the question to get all seven of them. You know, I mean, I hesitate to say, hey, I feel like they're in good with this guy, and it might be tougher with that guy, because I'd rather let the kids say that. But this is, domino effects are real in recruiting. and even more so when the kids all know each other. And if you could get, like you said, 2, 3, 4 of those guys to jump on board, I think what you might see is a real momentum effect where the rest of them just say, let's go do it. I've talked to a lot of people, and this is for very selfish reasons, and I'm sure you would agree with me as a media member in St. Louis, Frank. Can you imagine if those kids all had announcements on one day? I mean, even if they went different places, but especially if they all announced on the same day they were going to Missouri. I mean, people have asked, is there anything football-wise that could match the excitement for Michael Porter? That's it.
Mm. And for the people who don't know this, Thompson and Trout are two top five players in the country at their position, right?
Yeah, and talking to some people think Ronnie Perkins might be better than both of them.
Wow.
You know, Cam Babb is, I don't know where we've got him ranked in his position, but I know he's a top 100 player overall, so got to imagine he's one of the top 5, 6, 7 wide receivers in the country. Cameron Brown is a kid that he just has a world of potential. And then the kid from Rittner, I don't know if anybody's blown up like he has in America. I mean, he got his first offer from Missouri maybe 5 months ago. He has 24 of them now from basically everybody. And, you know, there are years where I think Dallas Cradius would be a top 2 or 3 player in the state of Missouri. Yeah. It just so happens that this isn't one of them.
If somebody wanted to sign up for PowerMizzou.com, how do they do it?
Go to that website, and if you are not subscribed, basically anything you click on, we should have a giant banner that will try to get you to sign up. So we've talked to 3 of those kids we're talking about in the last couple of days. We talked to Jonte last night. This time of year is, I mean, it is all recruiting all the time for the next couple of months.
Good stuff. Gabe, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
All right, Gabe DeArmond joining us. You can follow him on Twitter at Gabe DeArmond. We'll take a short time out. When we come back, we'll finish up the program with some good text. If you want to win a Lions Choice gift certificate, get it in right now. Lions Choice text line, 855-282-8255.